Sunday, July 3rd, we were up early and I was swimming with Lyndon. And then we drove, just the two of us, the lovely Farm to Market Road to Blanco. Gone were my Monet landscapes of the middle of June. The meadows full of purple and lavender spiked wildflowers, dotted with white Mexican poppies, and bordered by the gray-green of the live oaks, the little Blanco River in the distance. It's always one of my favorite rides to the Episcopal Church of St. Michael and All Angels, and each time I'm charmed by the good taste of the designer who made the little stone and timber church fit so companionably into the landscape. We were back at the main house by 12:30 and had a bite of lunch. And then Matilda Krim and I left in the King Air to go to Santa Fe to see Tony, dropping Vicky off at San Angelo to see her parents. On the two-hour flight, I read a paper Barbara Ward, Lady Jackson, had sent me on the urbanization of today's society. She writes with such a fresh sparkle and reduces the most complicated subject full of statistics to lucid, exciting sentences. Once immersed in this subject, beautification, I find that every headline, every article in the paper jumps out at me, such as the one in today's Post about the states acting to protect roadside beauty. This off year, when fewer than half the legislatures met, and some of them only for limited business, 4 states, New Mexico and Rhode Island and Colorado and Missouri, authorized legislation relating to beautifying the highways or controlling billboards in junkyards. Vermont set up an air pollution program, and all of it excites me. Tony was at the airport to meet us with Gary and Jack and their sons, and Lisa with long blonde pigtails and a sort of Alice in Wonderland look, and Alexander. First, we went to their house to plan our afternoon's activities, which are really to explore the old Mexico shop, to find any furniture, rugs, antiques, objects of art, pottery or glassware that might fit into Matilda's new home on the lake. We spent about 2 hours in the shop, and it was love at first sight for Matilda, I believe, because she wanted to know all about the pottery, where it was made, the designs and workmanship. She was particularly enchanted with the old chest, which at once made her a woman of taste in Tony's eyes. I hadn't been in a shop like this in years, and I too loved it. Matilda bought many things which I think will be very much at home in her Texas house, which will be a sort of a combination of cultures. And then I drove home, first going the long way around to see the old governor's palace and the Indians selling their wares around the plaza and the cathedral. And one memorable thing, a city-owned parking lot that was in charming taste, using the adobe wall that is a very trademark of Santa Fe and some desert planting to turn it into an asset rather than an eyesore. Santa Fe has really made a living off of its history, preserved its individuality, its charm. Tony and Matilda followed me in a few minutes, and we gathered in that delightful garden. Matiana and Gary and Jack, their oldest son, had taken all the children out for hamburgers. Matilda laughingly said that Tony had called a halt to the shopping, he the merchant, and had said, "Now, Mrs. Krim, it is the magic hour, and let us go sit in the garden and have a drink." It is tiny, the garden, with an adobe wall, pots of bright tuberous begonias, and flowers lovingly tended. He showed me some cuttings he had brought from the Holy Land, a plant from the Garden of Gethsemane. We curled up in comfortable chairs and watched the evening shadows fall. And a question or two from Matilda led Tony into a long story of the history of Santa Fe, beginning in about 1590, I believe, with the conquistadores and the Indians, and going on through the time of the Civil War, when Confederate soldiers from Texas and Union supporters clashed here. And then we went into a charming room called the Orangery, because there are several small orange trees in pots. And at one end, it opens into a hothouse, where Tony grows orchids and tomatoes in the wintertime. There were many books and pictures, furniture, small objects from all over the world, which all melded into a very gay, unorthodox, and thoroughly happy little place. I'd only called him the night before, and their servants were gone for the holiday weekend, and all the grocery stores were closed. Nevertheless, we managed to have a good dinner, and the companionship is always more important anyway. Tony makes a ceremony out of pouring wine and gives you a description of where it came from. It was after 9 when I left, very content with my happy visit with him. It was a most memorable moment when he showed me the little silver sherbet cup, 1 of 12 that had belonged to Mother at the brick house, and he planned to give 6 of them to Lucy for her wedding present, and maybe, perhaps in the future, he might give the other 6 to Linda. I asked him to put initials on the bottom, MLPT, from mother, with a date during her lifetime, then AJT, 1918, when he got them, then LJN, 1966, for Lucy. We dozed on the ride home, picked up Vicky, and arrived at the ranch about 1:30, an offbeat, happy day.